it gave you some homework. Of course, I got 50,000 notes up here, so hopefully I gave you the right homework. So without, and I've mentioned this, I don't necessarily want to go through the requirements and all that that Timothy and even Titus bring out, but there are sayings that in order to be ordained that you have to, I don't want to say do, but you have to have some level of accomplishment on. And we're going to do one of those tonight, or hopefully get into one of those tonight. But what are a couple others over there? What are some of those qualifications?
Husband of one wife.
Okay, that's okay. That's, yeah, not what I was thinking, but that is accurate. Yeah,
sober, vigilant.
What's that?
Sober.
Okay, yeah. Any others? Any others that really, really prepare you for the ministry? Okay, apathetic is one. That's one we're going to hit, get in tonight. What's another one?
Lover of hospitality.
Okay, and that, and that's, I think that's a probably a pretty decent one. That's overall what trying to get across to us. Any others?
Dealing with your own house.
Okay, and that's kind of where I was going. And what's it say about your house?
You don't know how to run your house, how to be in your church.
Okay, and so that is a big, that's a big one, I would think. And so how you operate your house, how you deal with your wife, if you're married, how you deal with your kids, if you have kids, how you deal with your in-laws. You know, if you get married, you got in-laws. So how you deal with all that, that is a good training ground to becoming a pastor, because the Bible, you know, that's, it makes it pretty clear over there that that is something that you have to be be able to do. And how you handle that is going to be a good indication of how, or indicator, how you're going to handle a church. And if you have a tendency to look down on people, you know, whatever the case might be, you're going to look down on the congregation that you're going to pastor. And then the next question is God going to let me pastor a church if I look down on it? What do you think?
No.
Because Acts 20 and 28 tells us the Holy Spirit brings the man and that church together. He's the one that places that overseer there. And I don't see God leading you somewhere and leading that church somewhere if that is not something that you think about today. And I know it's hard sometimes because maybe it's, you know, years down the road, but it is a good practice ground, so to speak. And there's a few others. You know, being a youth director, that is a really good one. You know, you got different people. You got to manage things. You got to put out a little bit of fire once in a while. I think being a teacher, you know, Sunday school BTC, and I mentioned this, a few weeks ago, up at church camp, and it, you know, my mind is still boggled. I just read the note I had on here, that people would pass up opportunities to teach at camp or part off on somebody else to do it for them. When you had an opportunity to work on a craft that you need to be able to maybe master is the right word. That you have to be basically pretty efficient at. And you're like, I don't need it. Well, I guess that's why there's a decade plan. And I guess you can stay on that plan. What if we had to pay for this? What if we had to pay the church in Springfield $1,000 a year? I mean, what kind of debt would you be in? Or would you be in debt? You ever thought about that? I think about things like that sometimes. Like if I had to pay to go to school till the day I got ordained, what would I owe the church here for providing the opportunity? Because it was free.
Yeah.
But what would I owe? You know, some of you in this room have gone to college and, you know, you took out student loans and Pell Grants and all those things. And you know, maybe you got lucky and didn't have to, but, you know, some of you, and you're still paying on those things. Maybe think about that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you owe the church in Springfield a check? hopefully one that won't bounce. And so, anyway, think about that. That's kind of up to you. But these opportunities come around for us to work on opportunities to grow. And they're right in front of us. And sometimes we just don't think about them. And so I'm going to say this. I was talking to Brother Alex about this the other night. And this is something my wife and I did. And sometimes it wasn't fun. But you know, those of you that are married, I would ask my wife when we left somewhere, you know, how was it? How was, you know, whether I preach, teach, whatever. And our little rule was, you know, there's, you can say whatever. And sometimes that was fine. And that caused other questions. Or, yeah, you know, and she would give me feedback. And I will tell you, your wife is probably the best person in your corner to give you feedback. If you have that opportunity, and take it, and don't get mad at her. She's like, you know, well, you're awful, you know, because maybe next week you were fantastic. But take advantage of that. I know we did, and I think it helped me down the road. And you know, sometimes the answer was kind of vague, and sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes well, I don't know if we really need to go that far. I mean, I just, you know, but I think it was all valuable. And so take advantage of that. If you're married, take advantage of that. And you know, if you're not married, there's probably still somebody in your corner that you can get honest feedback from, and need to think about that. And so we go through here. Yeah, we'll save this and hit this in a second. So gave you some homework, and some of this homework kind of goes together. And I asked you, are you able to teach this? And one of them was church perpetuity. Now, who wants to, somebody want to start on that? Okay, go ahead.
So,
you hear this all the time. That's what that recorder that you just hold up is?
Yeah, I'm just teasing that. So I always start in Matthew chapter 28 and work backwards. And maybe that's just how you do it. I don't know. But you have to go.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. No, but literally, the other night, I had a note. And my note said the same thing you just said. And, you know, maybe I'm sure I've said this before. Sometimes the best way to answer questions is to go backwards.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to do that.
Yeah.
And I'll not interrupt you the next one.
Okay. Because you go through here, and I think most people in religion, or most people when they sit down and read this, can understand that Jesus is telling people to go do something. And so all you have to do is establish who are the people and what is he sending them to do, right? So he said, all power given unto me in heaven and in earth. That establishes authority. And that's going to be important as you lay out church perpetuity. And if there's authority and it comes from somewhere, the authority has to continue through. And then you have, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And that even to the end of the world is important too, because these folks that he's talking to here are not currently living. They are dead. And so if they're dead and the instructions were only given to them, then those instructions are gone. If you go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and you see that Jesus is going to start, that he starts in church during his personal ministry, right? And I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you can read verse 19, but sometimes, depending on who you're dealing with, that can be confused. So then you have a church that's not going to go out of existence. Where do you see that church? Okay, and who is he talking to when he talks about? Who is he talking about when he talks about that church? Then I go to 1 Corinthians 12, and we see some of the church first apostle. And then go over to Luke chapter 6. Jesus calls his disciples to himself, and from that chooses his 12 apostles. And then I work backwards to Matthew chapter 4, where personal ministry begins after John was cast in prison, the preaching and teaching starts, and show that. And then from there, I would go to Acts. I usually use Ephesus
and the lack of scriptural baptism, and then the authority they have from one church to start another church. So you look at when Paul and Barnabas are sent out, Saul and Barnabas are sent out, and then when he helped lays hand on them for that authority to stretch out and show that it's going to be churches starting churches, and that a man like Apollos, he might sound really good, he might even have the right ideas of what you're supposed to do, but if you don't have the proper authority, then you do not have the ability to start another church.
Right. Somebody else? Do we have any examples of a church starting a church in the scriptures?
Yeah.
You want to hit that one?
I went to Acts. Excuse me. Acts 8. No. I look at verse 9, says, there was a certain man called Simon, was before time in the same city. You sorcerer and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, but whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man with the great power of God. With him they gave the guard, and so long time he had bewitched them as sorceries, but when they believed Philip, preaching of things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and one in Okay. Maybe I read that word wrong. Today, I'm not doing work. Beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they said unto them, Peter and John, when they came down, pray for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw all these things, he asked you to buy.
So are you comfortable being able to share with somebody, you know, because part of this, my little note up here, can you teach this? Are you comfortable in sharing that to people that were sent down far from a scriptural New Testament church?
Yeah, because Acts 8, verse 1 and 2 tells us that the church was scattered.
Okay.
But the apostles stayed in Jerusalem.
Okay.
And word had to go back for the proper administrator, proper authority to come down, because they were sent from the church at Jerusalem to then come and lay their hands on the church.
Okay. Anybody else got a? Anybody got a question? Yes.
I did.
Well, wait. Anybody got a question for Brother Christian? Because I just wanted to know that you could put all those little dots together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going back, you used Brother Reagan's example there, first office that he put in the church was out of apostle. That will help tie that up a little better.
Yeah,
I don't think you did bad. It's just that can make that case a little stronger.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I always think about Acts 13 as well.
Yeah.
When the church sent out Paul and Barnabas.
Yeah. Sure. All those good examples. Brother Alex.
Well, I did it somewhere. I started in Isaiah 9 chapter, saying that Jesus' ministry from the beginning at the seashore of the Galilee. And then you go to Matthew, the 4th chapter, you see Jesus calling out his church. You see that he gave his commission his church to go in Matthew 28. And then you see that church settled in Jerusalem. And you see, you know, I have a lesson, and then it goes into the day of Pentecost. What happened on that day of Pentecost? The church received the Holy Spirit as comforter. And then you see that church in Jerusalem started churches. The first one was in Acts 8 in Samaria. But then you see, you're talking about examples of churches, starting churches in the scriptures. So we've looked at a couple, but Antioch was started in Acts 11. And you see Acts 13, Paul gets sent out by Antioch. And then Acts 19, Paul goes to Ephesus and he baptizes these people that were, you know, thought they already had scriptural baptism from Apollos, and he had to rebaptize them because they were saved, but they didn't have, Apollos didn't have that authority to baptize. So Paul rebaptized them again by that authority from Antioch. And then you see at the very And there, you see there's a church that gets started in Ephesus.
Right. So again, I don't want to read all these. I just want to know that you got a track that you can get down and you know, expound on that. I didn't have Brother Josh read this tonight. He's read the last couple of times about, oh, they're in Nehemiah and gave the sense. And that's what I'm looking for. So anybody got a question? Okay. Now the next question was, about giving God glory. How do church perpetuity and giving God glory, how do they tie together? Have you ever thought about that they tie together? Or do they tie together? Ever thought about that? How do you give God glory?
Inside of a New Testament church.
I know, but is that what it says? Inside of a New Testament church?
Ephesians 3:21.
And it says inside.
I can't vote it out. Okay.
They quoted me right.
All right. So if you, I'm just trying to see who all was here because I thought the Andersons were coming too. So if you were in Albany the other last couple services, what is worship? What's that?
It's on yes, a prayer on me.
Okay, and that's what Psalms tells us, Psalms 95. It tells us what worship is. And it's on your knees in prayer, okay, before the Lord. That is what worship really is. Coming through the door, sitting around, singing lovely songs, all that. You know, that can be a part of it, but that is not how the scriptures define it. The scriptures define it with our knees before the Lord. So if that is what worship is defined by the scriptures themselves, and I want to give the Lord glory, and yeah, I can say inside of a scripture in the New Testament church, but is there a path in the scriptures to prove or to show this is how God intends for it to happen? What's that?
You go look at the tabernacle and you see your prayer to the saints.
Okay.
And you see how God received glory.
Okay. And how does God, the Father, received glory?
By Jesus.
Okay, and how do we know that?
Romans 16:27.
And what does that tell us?
God only wise receives glory.
Okay. Is there any others? I mean, yes, that's good.
John 5:41 says,
okay,
he's not honor for men.
Okay.
Which again goes back to when you're talking about church perpetuity, goes back to those guys in Ephesus who were assembling to have baptism from Apollos. They were trying, but they didn't have the ability to give him glory because they didn't have proper authority to be ordained.
Okay.
Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of it. So if he wasn't there with them when they were organized as a group, that meaning of that verse must not be just that they're assembled. It's that they're assembled with authority.
Okay. Any others to go along with? To somebody that said,
with what Reagan talked about of establishing who the disciples were and establishing the church was and who he called out, John 17:10.
Okay.
Glorified in them.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Brother Paul, did you have something?
Well, just you asked what the connection is between what Brother Christian was talking about with the lineage, the perpetuity, and then your next question of giving God glory. And someone will say, well, yeah, I'm a part of a church, so I'm giving God glory. And if you just say, got to be in the church. So that's one of the big connections is what comes through that lineage is the Holy Spirit and dwelling there from church to church. And so that's the connection. It's not just, well, you got to be in the church because there's a lot of churches out there. And
it's full of good people.
And people like their church. And they a lot of people mean really well and very devout.
Well, and I like using Matthew 28. The Lord is not with us in all ways. It says all way. So there's a difference in those two.
I was just going to say, we had a family that was coming for a while, and that was the things that came from the Calvinists.
Yeah.
But they were coming in, and so we sat down and we went to finish some scripture, and there were Ephesians, and he just could not get around that part. I mean,
He was also stopped on there. They were stopped on miracles, but he came forward and presented himself for baptism. And his wife was sitting there on the pews for maybe a month after, but she could not get past being able to not give God glory. And that was the only way. And so they ended up leaving, but it was.
Back in the 1900s, in this part of this very room, I was teaching a class, young adult class, and started bringing out, it's a sin not to be part of a scriptural New Testament church, and bringing out where prayer was. And that caused a whole bunch of issues from people that probably been around long enough to know better. The Bible tells us how to pray. The Bible tells us how to worship. And I got a couple other notes here. Does this matter?
Yeah.
Why does it matter? Perfect. And I got it just summed down and just, or summed up in just literally a couple things. Why does it matter? Okay, well, that's not one of my things, but that one, I'll give you that one. So. Why does it matter?
Well, church lineage is talking about the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Comforter inside the Lord and the church. That's what gives life to the church.
Okay.
So if it doesn't have the Holy Spirit, it can't reproduce. It can't start another church. It's not what it is. It's not what God church is.
Okay. What is there any other reasons why this matters?
Well, you don't have, because
that's one right there.
Yes. I meant to mention this earlier. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, Second Thessalonians 1:10, when he shall come to be glorified in the saints and to be admired in all of them that believe. There's a difference in the result that you're going to get if you're going to serve God, you're going to be a saint, you're going to give him glory in one of his New Testament churches versus just being a believer. Yes, you get to go to heaven, but there isn't the rewards promised to those who just know him. There are promises to those who keep his commandments and keep him his way.
So in Timothy, 3rd chapter, what is God's plan?
All men be saved.
All men be saved, come to knowledge of truth. So there is a truth that we are to learn. And why does God want us to learn it? So I'm going to use Jacob over here. When he was a kid, he did not like to tie his shoes. Do you tie your shoes now? Because he made a point when he moved out and got his own place, because he would get, peanut butter is a main staple in our house. And he would go and get some on a spoon, which I didn't really care about, except when a brand new jar and one spoon and it's gone. Okay. And then, so as soon as he moved out and he bought his own jar of peanut butter, he sent a picture of doing that. Okay. You know, I can't do anything. You say anything about him now. So I'm assuming you tie your shoes now.
I know.
But he used to not tie his shoes. And he got, you know, told to tie his shoes, and thought I was, you know, just being overbearing because I wanted him to tie his shoes. And, you know, I didn't want him to fall, trip, and everything else. He wants to blame all the clutchiness of his children on his wife. I think their DNA is 50-50. I'm just going to go with you on that one. He forgets I had to carry him to the hospital one day because, So one day I need to make my point because my yelling and scolding and getting in trouble wasn't working. And I took his shoelaces. And then, so I literally took the shoelaces out of his shoe. And then, there was a neighbor kid. Do you remember that? You want to go play football? Yeah, you can play football. Can I have my laces? Nope. So he went and played football without his shoelaces. Oh. And from that day forward, he's always tied his shoes.
And that was the week he moved out? Or?
In a minute. The point is, he didn't understand why I wanted to tie his shoes. Now, some of it is because I told you to. Okay, so there is a part of that. There's also a part, you know, you can trip and fall and your shoes fall off and everything else. But part of it was I told you to, and you're just not doing it. And so when I asked this question, why does this matter? And I kind of summed it up, and you guys already kind of hit some of this, church perpetuity, because without that, we have nothing.
Gotcha.
And every church that's represented in this room goes back to that church in Jerusalem. I mean, every single one of us goes back to that church in Jerusalem. And you can't worship God without understanding church perpetuity, the comforter, just as we just looked over there, or we didn't look, but I gave you the verse over there in Psalms 95. And God put prayer somewhere, and God teaches us how to pray. Mm-hmm. And this isn't Mike Dixon. This wasn't the church in Springfield. It's not Albany. This is what the Bible teaches about prayer, and God put it in a particular place, and he gave us a lot of instructions on how to pray and where to pray. Mm-hmm. And God wants us to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, if you can't talk to God, what do you got going on? Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, we're doing this lesson at home right now, and I asked the same question to the church the other night, why does this matter? And, you know, one example that stands out to me, you know, really, really big is the day Jacob was born. And so, you know, this is before cell phones, and we had one car, and I was literally leaving to go to visitation that night, and Jill's in the kitchen, and hopefully I don't get in trouble for this, but her water broke right there in the kitchen. And, you know, our first kid, and so off we go to the hospital. And so we're over there, up all night. It's a long night. Nothing's really happening. And we had a new nurse. And, you know, nurses, you need to get trained. And the doctor, he was busy. What was your doctor's name? Do you remember?
Jeffries.
Okay. And we had, what was his name? It wasn't Jeffries. Anyway, Hunter and Jake were born, but couple days apart. We thought we probably passed each other in the elevator. So anyway, finally the doctor, he was really busy, you know, on the floor and everything. So these nurses are giving him feedback, and finally he comes in and he's not satisfied with what he's hearing. And they didn't want to check her because you get, you know, water had broke and everything. So they're trying to be very selective about that. And he hadn't checked her yet. And so he checked her. And as soon as he did, you could just see his eyes get huge. And he realized right now we got problems. And one, they had given her some medicine, and he had okayed it based off of the recommendation, the feedback the nurses were giving him. And instantly, you know, he starts barking orders. People start jumping just like on TV. He does his own ultrasound, and his eyes even got bigger, and right into surgery. And he's going to do emergency C-section. And so he's getting everything prepped for that, and people are flying around. And then he's checking her one more time, and he goes, you know, I think I can do this. I think we can deliver it. And without doing the C-section. But so he does, she's able to. But when Jacob is born, he's not breathing. And just like TV, alarms go off, people start jumping around, start running in. There's a small little table, it's not much bigger than this, and it's surrounded by these doctors, and they're working on it. And I'm just standing there. She's out. And I'm just standing there, and I realize in that very moment, that's the smallest of a human being I could be, because I can do nothing. I don't know what to do. I got nothing. I can't help. I just bowed my head and prayed. I didn't have time to think about it. Didn't have time to get things taken care of. Only thing I could do is pray. Now, I knew if he passed away where he was going. I didn't have to be convinced of that. I knew what the Bible said. But, you know, it's a little scary, and I just prayed. And those doctors kept working, and then they came over, and, you know, they said, he's going to ICU, and we'll keep you informed. And that was it. And so, or the ICU was in.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so we go down to the room, got no baby. And, you know, she's coming around and everything. And, you know, we're just praying and trying to process everything that's happened the last 24 hours, and especially the last 2 hours. And then the door opens, and here comes a nurse with this baby. It says, he's all right. How'd that happen?
Different baby.
That explain a lot.
Yeah.
How does that happen? Oh, the doctors were wonderful. I'm sure they were. I have no doubt that those doctors were wonderful. You know, the doctor, her OB was the one in charge, and he was wonderful. He delivered all our kids. He was wonderful. And the nurses were wonderful. But how that happened?
Lord intervened.
Well, definitely. The point is, the only thing I could do is pray. My wife was out. Nobody else was there yet. If this is going kind of fast, maybe out in the waiting room. It was just me praying. Now, what if I wasn't right with God? What if I had something, sin, that I needed to deal with that I had been putting off? Right? Now, I thank the Lord, because that has happened in life, but at that moment, not. And at that moment, that got me, and I'm like, we need to stay at this place to be able to pray no matter what. No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, last 7 months has taught me that lesson all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And you only have the moment. And what if you're not understanding church perpetuity, giving God glory, where prayer is? Then you're just religious.
Yeah.
And that's not going to get you anywhere with the Lord when the time comes. Okay? Ready real quick? Comments, questions? All right. I just got a couple more here. I got way too many notes. But why does it matter? Well, church perpetuity matters. Worshiping God matters. Prayer matters. Giving God glory. I've summed it up that way. Now, you can probably add a few more in there. But you need to be able to teach that. Flip over here. We'll just wrap up here so I won't get in trouble. We'll read one verse so we'll act like we did something here. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to pick up here in verse 12. And it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful and putting me into the ministry." Okay, so who put him in the ministry? And what's he doing? Okay, and he used another big old word over there, enabled me. So can you do it on your own? You need help. You need to be able to teach. You need help being a good leader in your home. You need help being a little bit compassionate in your home. And I've said this, and then earlier this week, I told this to Brother Sean, I hope nobody ever experiences, you know, what Brother Crabtree's had to go through or what I've had to go through. Help never, ever happens, okay? You know, during Cresswell, Brother Sean and I were talking. I don't know if decisions I've made on treatments, all that kind of stuff, that I would do again or recommend to somebody. I've thought about that, and I don't know that I could do that because of the side of, you know, all the other stuff. But then, like Brother Sean said, well, it worked. it's done to an extent. So I don't know. I don't know that answer. But I hope nobody ever has to figure it out, you know, whether anything. And I've got some other stuff going on with my eyes right now that's not liking at all. But like I told Brother Sean earlier this week, I wish every one of you that's been called to preach could experience this. And the experience what Brother Crabtree's gone through, because I was kind of, I was listening and try to comprehend, but I didn't get it till now for the last few weeks. I wish you could experience it for a month, because it would make you more compassionate for the people you're supposed to minister to, because you would have a little bit of a better comprehension of things that go on in life. Whether it's losing a child, whether it's, you know, you can't figure something out. You know, you got some depression. It would make you better. Now, I want it all to be temporary. Just like getting a cold, you know, got a runny nose for a little bit, take some Tylenol, and it's over. That's what I would want. But now we know life doesn't work that way. But the Lord put him in there, and he said, counted me faithful in putting me in the ministry. And I think it's always important for us to remember who we are, where we came from. And tomorrow we'll look there in Romans, the second chapter again. I know we read it last time. And Paul's speaking here, who was before a blasphemer. Now, he's not bragging. He just remembers who he was. A blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious. And obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord has exceedingly abundant with faith, love, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Just remember who you are. You're not special. You're not coming from anything special. I think God can maybe use you in a special way, but even that doesn't make you special. Just prepare yourself as a vessel, fork, the drawer, and a spoon, whatever it is, to be able to be used. Mm-hmm. So whatever you got to do, let's just say starting tonight to the day that some church is calling you in view of a call, whatever you got to work on, start working on that. If that means being understanding, if that means being compassionate, if that means being a better teacher, whatever you got to work on. Because tomorrow we're going to start looking at attitude as we're going to transition into a teacher or being a teacher. Because you have to teach. You have to be able to teach. And that is... You teach all the time. You teach your wife. You teach your kids. You know, sometimes you got to take their shoelaces. But God can use you if you let him. Thank you, Brother Sean. Yeah.